Good morning, friends. In recent lessons, I presented much evidence which I believe proves the Bible could have only come from inspired men as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Peter tells us in his second letter, chapter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In the lessons that we have studied, we have seen that the men who wrote the Bible recorded much pre-geographical, pre-scientific, and pre-historical facts, and that all attempts to show there were errors in those recordings have failed. In this lesson, let us look at some of the alleged contradictions found in the Bible and see if they are that, only alleged ones. The critics say the Bible contradicts itself because it teaches the Sabbath day is and is not to be observed. Circumcision is commanded and forbidden. Feast days are and are not to be observed. And some flesh may not be eaten, and all flesh may be eaten. I readily admit that the Bible teaches all of this. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 28, it teaches that men are to observe the Sabbath. And Colossians 2 verse 16 says it is not to be observed. Genesis 17 and verse 10 makes the ordinance of circumcision a command, whereas Galatians 5, 1 and 2 forbids it. Deuteronomy 16:16 demands the observance of feast days, but Galatians 4, 8 through 11 forbids observance. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 7 forbids the consumption of certain meats, but Romans 14:14 and 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5 authorizes the partaking of all meats. Now, beyond a doubt, these scriptures do contradict each other if you go no further. You see, for each of these apparent contradictions, the critics have arrayed a scripture from the Old Testament against a scripture from the New Testament. Yes, it was the Old Testament scriptures which we heard say the Sabbath day or Saturday was to be kept. All men were to be circumcised. Feast days were to be observed. Some meats were unclean. Whereas it was the New Testament scriptures that teach the opposite. My friends, the critics who believe these are real contradictions and not just apparent ones are those who do not understand how to rightly divide the word of truth or the Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it tells us, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." You see, the Bible is divided in two major parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament portion contains the covenant which God, through Moses and the prophets, made with the children of Israel, whereas the New Testament scriptures are those peculiar to the covenant which God, through His Son, has given to all men. When God promised to make this new covenant with us, He said it would be different from the one He had made with Israel. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31 and 32, He spake through the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt." Then too, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11 through 19, Hebrews 10:9, Romans 7, 1 through 6, 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 12, Galatians chapters 1, 3, 4, and 5, Ephesians 2, and Colossians 2. Declare that with the giving of the New Covenant, or the New Testament, there was a taking away of the Old Testament. We all understand that today, if a new law is to be made, the old law must be taken off the books. So it necessarily follows that the coming of the new, there must be a taking away of the old. That which is different cannot coexist with that which it differs. This is what the writer meant when in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9 he wrote, "He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second." Throughout the book of Hebrews, the writer shows a superiority of Christ. Christ, he says, is greater than the angels. Christ is superior to Moses. Christ's priesthood is over and above the Old Testament priesthood, and the sacrifice of Christ is superior to the Old Testament sacrifices. In other words, the law of Christ was superior in every way to the Old Testament or the law of Moses. So you see, even though these contradictory statements are to be found in the Bible as a whole, this does not mean the writers of the New Testament contradicted that which was written by the men who wrote the Old Testament. No, All it means is one group of people recorded the terms of one covenant for one period of time, and the others have recorded the terms of another covenant for another group of people in another dispensation, which, as the Lord himself said, would be different from the first. There are also those who allege that contradictions exist because they fail to understand the different usage of words. They contend that the Bible says God tempts and does not tempt man. The disciples of Christ are to hate and love their relatives. All things and all are not lawful. God's people are and are not in the kingdom of heaven. We are and are not to call any man father. True, James 1:13 says that God tempts no man. And Genesis 22 verse 1 says God tempted Abraham. However, this does not contradict, because the word tempt in Genesis 22:1 simply means God tried Abraham. Paul, in speaking of this in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7, says God tried Abraham. Now, trying is for our benefit. We see just how strong we are in our face of our trials. Now, this time of year, we've just finished what they called March Madness. To the basketball fan, it is a good time of year, and we enjoy that. 64 teams made the big tournament. True, there were some that didn't make it that had better records than some that did. But the teams that made it on the basis of their record and the strength of their schedule. A coach wants his team to play a tough schedule so he can see their strengths and their weaknesses. As people, we don't know how strong we really are until we're faced with trials. Yes, God tempted or tried Abraham, but God never tries to allure one into the gutter of sinful corruption. Then, too, in 1 John chapter 1, 8 through 10, it says children of God can sin, and 1 John 3:9 declares children of God cannot sin. However, this does not mean or does not prove that the Apostle John has been caught in a contradiction. You see, God, as well as we, does not always use the word cannot to express a literal, absolute, physical impossibility. We sometimes say, I cannot do that. Not at all meaning it's impossible, but that we just can't afford to, because there are other things more important. According to Acts 4:19 through 20 and Exodus 19:21 through 23, God uses this word the same way. The children of Israel could not afford to touch the mountain, because the consequences would be physical death. We cannot afford to go back to a willful life of sin, because by so doing, we will die the second death or be lost. Hebrews chapter 10, 25 through 31, and Revelation 21, verse 8. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, it says that we must hate our loved ones, and Ephesians 5:25 and Ephesians 6:1 through 4 and Titus 2:3 and 4 teaches we should love them. So, yes indeed, these scriptures seem to contradict each other. Yet when we study Genesis 29, 30 and 31, we find with God the word hate in some instances is used to say love less. So when Jesus, according to Luke 14:26, said, hate your loved ones, he was only saying love them less than me. According to Matthew 10:37, Jesus plainly said, those who love their relatives more than me are not worthy of me. Two commands, one which says love your relatives, the other says love them less than you love me, are not contradictory. We know that if we put God first in our lives, it will make us better fathers, mothers, grandparents, brothers, and sisters. Again, the critics are right when they say that Paul taught all things were and were not lawful for him. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. Hebrews 3, 4, and 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 21, and Hebrews 10, 25 through 31. However, since according to Matthew 10, 22, and Acts 2, 17, and many other scriptures, the word all is not always used in all-inclusive sense. This does not, as the critics say, prove Paul contradicted himself. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, taken in context, shows clearly that Paul's statement, all things are lawful, pertained only to those things which are a matter of indifference. Likewise, it was been said, according to Colossians 1:13, Paul said, when people become children of God, they enter the kingdom, and in Acts 14:22 said, children of God must suffer in order to enter the kingdom. However, this is not, as they say, a biblical contradiction. The expressions kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven refer to both the church and the place where God dwells. Romans 14:17 and 18, Matthew 7:21. Paul in Colossians 1:13 was speaking of the church, but in Acts 14:22 he was speaking of the eternal home with God. In Matthew 23 and verse 9 and many other scriptures, it says that we may not call anyone but God Father. Howbeit, this appears to be a contradiction to only those who do not understand the difference, degrees in fatherhood or origin. Only God may be called Father when we speak of the one of whom and through whom all things are. Matthew has reference to those who would use Father as a religious title. All Christians would be brothers, and we have only one spiritual father, and that is God. Yet in a physical sense, we may call our male parent father, because our existence as a human being had its origin with him. Christ was forbidding us to use names as religious titles. Yes, these many other scriptures appear to be at variance. However, these apparent inconsistencies vanish into many different meanings, and that none of us are at liberty to assign our own choice of the various meanings to any of the words of a writer's material. By employment of this tactic, the writings of another author or authors could be made to appear contradictory. Friends, the Bible is by far the best book in the world. It merits our reverence, our respect, our love, our belief, our trust, our subjection, and our complete obedience. The word Bible is not found within the pages of God's eternal revelation to mankind. God's book refers to itself as the law, the word of truth, the oracles of God, scripture, doctrine, and truth. It describes itself as a sword, a fire, a seed, a lamp, and a light. The Bible is not a dead letter. According to the writer of Hebrews, God's word is both quick and powerful. It was by word of God that the worlds were framed and the heavens were made. The Bible quickens or makes alive. It begets, it converts, it saves, it pricks, it cuts, and will judge us in the day of judgment. There are various attitudes in regard to the Bible. Some reject it, some wage war against it. Some are apathetic toward it, and some love it, cherish and respect it. Many, like Jehoiakim, would like to burn it, while others, like David, love it to the point of making it their constant meditation. Friends, what is your attitude toward the Bible? Until next week, may God bless and keep you.